Luke chapter 13, we're going to take our text in verses 6 through 9 this morning, 6 through 9. We're going to also look at the first five verses, but we're going to major over in verses 6 through 9. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book, Luke chapter 13. After our Bible reading, we'll enjoy a special and get right into the message today. Luke chapter 13, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. I'll read the even verses. Would you please join me on the odd ones? And beginning in verse number 6, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now, our Father, I pray that you'll please add your blessing to the reading of your book today. It's a good thing just to read your word in our presence. It's an even better thing if the Spirit of God will take it now during the preaching and use it as a sharp two-edged sword to pierce down into our hearts. And, Lord, deal with us today. We came for that reason. We present ourselves to you. We're a needy people, and I'm a needy preacher. Will you help me and help the folk? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. good song this morning, and thank God for that. All right, I want you to look at verse number 8. This will be our jumping verse here, jumping off verse. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. I want to take those two words, this year, and think about that for a little bit this morning. This year, as we begin 2006, let's pray together and bring a message along the lines of this year. Thank you, Father, for providing yourself a lamb in the person of Jesus to die for our sins. Thank you for that great sacrifice. Lord, if somebody in this room has yet to come under the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, I pray that they begin this year by making that most important decision, that decision to be saved. And then, Lord, for those of us who are saved, may you have our attention this morning. Speak to our hearts. Help us and bless us in this time, I pray in Christ's name. And amen. One of the most enjoyable items that God created among the food groups for people to enjoy is fruit. Everybody has a favorite fruit. Even kids who sometimes can be candy crazy seem to have certain fruits that they enjoy. I've got the ones that I particularly enjoy. I love fruit. Had some this morning. And I love Bing cherries. When they're in season, I love Bing cherries. I love to eat the cherries and then spit the pits at my kids. Amen. And you don't do that. Oh, yeah. We have a good time. Amen. So I like the Bing cherries. I like blueberries. I like apricots. I think apricots are absolutely delicious. My father-in-law had an apricot tree in his farm out there in Iowa when we used to live out there. And the fruit would come. And my, it was good. And you have your favorite fruit. Hopefully you found a little time during this Christmas season to eat some fruit as opposed to all the other stuff that you could be eating right now. Now, fruit berry. That's going to be the topic of our sermon this morning. Fruit berry. Fruit berry. Fruit bearing is a vital part of our life as a child of God. In fact, God takes great delight in watching and seeing His children bear fruit. This year, will you be a fruit bearer? Will I be a fruit bearer this year? This is the message this morning. I want you to begin by looking in verse number 1. The Bible tells us that there was a group of Jews who told Jesus a story about an event that was absolutely tragic. Pilate, the Roman governor, had his soldiers massacre a group of Galileans as they came to offer their sacrifices. That's what the Jews said. They said, Lord, what about these Galileans whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifice? Can you imagine that? They came to the temple to offer a sacrifice, and Pilate had his soldiers kill them and mingle their blood with the blood of the sacrifices. And the Jews' thinking was that this type of death was hideous. This type of death was so tragic, it must be that those Galileans were horrible sinners. They had to be horrible sinners to die such a tragic death. Look at what Jesus said in verse number 2. He says, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Jesus said, that's a wrong supposition. That's a wrong speculation. You can't just assume that because they died a tragic death, that means they're horrible sinners. Look at what he said in verse number 3. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus said to this group of religious people, he said, by the way, he said, the truth is you consider yourselves pretty good and pretty decent, but I'm going to tell you something. Unless you repent of your sins, you're going to perish also. You're going to die as well. Then he brought up another situation in verse number 4, another tragic event over in the village of Siloam. A tower fell and crushed 18 people. Jesus said, I suppose you believe those folks were horrible, wicked sinners too because that tower fell on them. And by the way, folks, don't think that we're not the same way today. We hear of some tragic way of somebody dying and we automatically jump to conclusions sometimes that they must have been horrible sinners to die such a tragic death. And Jesus says, that's not the case. That's not the case. That doesn't mean they're horrible sinners. He says again in verse number 5, except you repent of your sins and be saved, you're going to perish too. You see, folks, look, it doesn't matter under what circumstances you die. What matters is if you die lost or saved. That's what matters. It doesn't matter how you die. And as far as the type of death, it's are you saved when you die? That's what matters critically. Now, so he got through that. And then we're going to come back to that in just a moment. Then, just like Jesus did so often, he turned their question into an opportunity to teach them something by telling them a parable about fruit bearing. We read it in verses 6 through 9. Jesus said, here's a man. A certain man had a fig tree planted. And he came and he sought fruit on that fig tree. He came looking for fruit and he didn't find any. And so he found the dresser. He found the gardener, the person that was in charge of the orchard. He said, what's going on with this tree? This tree's been around here 3 years and it still doesn't have any fruit on it. I came looking for some fruit and there is none. I want you to cut it out. I want you to tear it down. Just cut it off and tear it out of the ground and put another tree in its place. And the gardener, the dresser, he said, give me another year. Give me this year. Give me one more year and let me dig about it, dung it, fertilize it. You know what he's talking about there, fertilize it. And if it produces fruit, well, if it doesn't, then we'll cut it down. Now, in this parable, the certain man, if you like things like this, there's typology in here. The certain man is God the Father. The fig tree is the nation of Israel. The dresser is Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. God came looking for fruit among the nation of Israel. But they rejected Jesus Christ. They did not receive Him as the Messiah. And they did not bear fruit. And guess what happened to the nation of Israel 35 years after they crucified Jesus Christ? Titus came and destroyed that city. Murdered people by the thousands. Displaced all those Jews. Tore the wall down, burnt it with fire. It got so hot the gold on the temple building melted and ran down among the cracks in the streets. And the greedy Roman soldiers were taking the cobblestones and bricks and the stones out of the streets to try to get to the gold. It was completely cut off. Are you with me this morning? That's what the Bible typology is teaching here in this little parable that Jesus told. But now, wait a minute. And by the way, he's talking to Jews there. He's talking to people representing the nation of Israel. He said, the truth of the matter is, God is the Heavenly Father, and He's looked for fruit from you folks, and He doesn't find any, and you're going to be cut off. And they were, 35 years after they crucified Christ. Now, let's get down to what this parable teaches you and me, because there's always an application for us. There's the interpretation of that passage. There's always an application for us. Let me go quickly this morning. Number one, it is no coincidence that repentance and fruit-bearing are mentioned in the same passage. It's no coincidence that repentance and fruit-bearing are mentioned in the same passage. In verses 1 through 5, the subject is repentance. In verses 6 through 9, the subject is fruit-bearing. Watch me, folks. Repentance and faith are necessary for salvation. They are two sides of the same coin. Just like if you have a coin in your pocket this morning, it has a head and a tail. You can't separate it. It's the same coin. Repentance and faith are both involved in salvation. And by the way, don't get bogged down. You know, sometimes people get bogged down. Did I repent enough? It's not something you do. It's not something you work up. It's something that the Spirit of God does in you. Brings you to the place of repentance. It's two sides. You're headed this direction. You're headed away from God. On the road to hell, you are confronted with the truth, the light of the gospel, the Spirit of God pierces your heart, and you decide you're going to turn to Christ. He draws you to Christ. In that moment, you turn from the way you're headed to Jesus Christ. That one thing, that's all the same movement right there. That is repentance and faith. That's repentance and faith. I don't know if I repented enough. I don't know if I believed enough. If you're saved, you had enough repentance and enough faith to birth you into the family of God. It's the Spirit of God's work. You see, we get in our mind that grace is a gift of God, and it is. But the Bible makes it clear that repentance is a gift of God too. God, the goodness of God brings us to repentance. Okay? Works in us. That one turning to Christ, that is your repentance and faith. And they result in what? Salvation. Are you with me this morning? All right. Now, what's one of the greatest evidences of salvation? You said it. Say it louder. Fruit bearing. That's one of the greatest evidences of salvation. That's one of the greatest evidences that there's spiritual life, when fruit starts showing up. When I first got saved, I got saved at the boys' ranch. You guys know about that. And boy, Mike found all kinds of things to keep us busy. He had 13, 12 guys. You can't let 12 or 13 hellions, teenage hellions, just sit around all day. So the big apple orchards up there on the mountain. And we, in January, this time of the year, we pruned them. I used to think it was cold. It wasn't cold. It was Tennessee. It was nice. This is cold. Amen. This is not now, but what we had earlier in December was, man, I so wished my parents could have been a part of that. Amen. But they weren't. I was really hoping they could enjoy that blessed 8-degree weather. But anyway, we used to prune the apple orchards. If you're into horticulture and that type of thing, the trees, the flowers, even in your own property, they have to be pruned to bring forth the right kind of fruit. And you got those suckers that come off the limbs. They don't bear any fruit. They just, you know what I'm talking about? And they just grow big and long. If you don't know what they are, come to my house. I got dozens of them right now. And my brother and I got out and cut some of them off the other day. This is the right time of year to cut those off. And sometimes when I was first learning pruning apple trees, I look at that thing and say, boy, is that thing dead or alive? Is that limb dead or alive? And what's one of the things you look for? One of the things you look for, was there a leaf? Was there a... What was that? I touched that thing? I'm sorry. Was there a leaf on that limb? Is there any kind of growth out there? Is there anything green whatsoever? Because that green leaf, or even that dead leaf, could signify that that limb, that branch, has life. You see, look, fruit bearing is pretty good proof that a person has been saved. Yeah, sure it is. Fruit bearing is good proof that a person has been saved. How about Bible for it? Matthew 7:16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. So fruit bearing is good evidence that a person has been saved. It's one of the joys of pastoring a church. One of the joys of preaching to people and seeing fruit start to develop in their lives. It's good evidence that there's true salvation. It's also one of the disasters of pastoring. When you sometimes look around at folks that are supposed to have been saved for 20 years and there's no fruit. And you wonder to yourself, my goodness. Fruit bearing is a good evidence of salvation. So it's no coincidence that repentance and fruit bearing are mentioned in the same passage. Number two, I'm moving fast this morning. Number two, let me say this. God expects us to bear fruit. He expects us to bear fruit. Look at verses 6 and 7. The Bible says in verse number 6 especially, He came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Look what He told the dresser in verse 7. Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit. Fruit, by the way, He came how many years? He came 3. He came every year seeking fruit. Year 1, He came, is there any fruit? Year 2, He came, is there any fruit? Year 3, He came, is there any fruit? Now we're at the end of that third year. I've come 3 years in a row seeking fruit. God expects you and me, those of us who are saved, to bear fruit. You see, the certain man came looking for fruit. It is what he expected to find on the tree. Now, maybe you purchased a fruit tree. Maybe you mail ordered it, catalog ordered it somewhere. Or you went over here to Tholen's or one of the other places and you bought a fruit tree of some type. And you took it to your house and you planted it and you gave it the proper time. And you nourished it and fertilized it and made sure it was watered and so forth and so on. And after a period of time, what did you begin to look for? You began to look for fruit. You didn't buy it for decoration. You didn't buy it for landscape purposes. You bought it for the fruit. You bought it for the apricots. You bought it for the peaches. You bought it for the apples. You bought it for the fruit. And you start looking for fruit. It's what you expect to be on a fruit tree. Now, folks, listen. God expects us to bear fruit. It's what He's looking for in our lives. Now, I want you to notice two things about this. God expects us to bear fruit. Number one, I want you to notice this. There was no expectation of quantity. Are you with me? He didn't say, I came looking for 4 bushels and only got 2. He didn't say, I came looking for 10 bushels and didn't find and only got 1. He said, I came looking for some fruit. I found none. He's looking for some fruit. That's what God expects out of us. God expects to find fruit bearing going on in our life. He expects to find some fruit. The Bible, another passage of Scripture, Jesus told another parable about the different types of ground. And He talked about the good ground. And He said in the good ground, some of that good ground is going to bring forth 30-fold. Some of that good ground is going to bring forth 60-fold. And some of that good ground is going to bring forth 100-fold. And folks, look, it's not a comparison issue. It's not me versus Brother Hanson. And we might have a little competition in fall program or spring program. Nothing wrong with that. But this thing of bearing fruit, growing in grace, honoring the Lord, it's not a comparison thing. It's not a me versus him or me versus you or you versus anybody else. God's looking for fruit in your life. You may be a 30-fold fruit bearer. That's okay. You may be a 60-fold fruit bearer. You may be a 100-fold fruit bearer. That's okay. But God is looking for some fruit. There's no quantity expected here. Just some fruit. I'll tell you something. God's looking for some fruit. God comes at the end of 2005 and He says, what fruit have you borne? I'm looking for fruit. I'm looking for 30-fold. I'm looking for 60-fold. I'm looking for 100-fold. How about your life? How about my life? If the certain man comes and inspects the vineyard of my life in 2005, was there any fruit? Did it bear any fruit? That's what He's looking for. He's looking for in each one of us. Not a number, no quantity expected, but some fruit. Now let me say this. By the way, He found none here. Zero. And by the way, that goes on in people's lives. 365 days as a child of God and no fruit. I know what you're thinking. I'm going to kind of dispel that in just a minute. You think I'm talking about only one kind of fruit. There's more than one kind of fruit, folk. 365 days. The Bible talks about a year here. I come looking for fruit this past year. Found none. Now, let me say this, number two, under this point right here. There was a period of patience for growth and development. You see, it doesn't say at the end of year one that he got impatient. It doesn't say that at the end of year two he got impatient. But at the end of year three, he got a little bit impatient. His patience started to run out. God in His grace gives us a period for growth and development in order to bring forth fruit. You see, He's good to us. He's kind to us. He gives the Holy Spirit to us to work in our hearts. He gives us teachers and preachers. He gave us His book. And after we get saved, I believe God has grace. And He waits patiently for the fruit to develop in our lives. Again, there's nothing more rewarding to a pastor than to see people get saved and start to develop to the place where they bear fruit. It's a blessing. It makes you want to shout. It makes you want to run. We talk about it in staff meetings. We talk about this person and that person and the growth. It may be a very simple thing as far as you're concerned, but to us, it's the signs of growth and fruit bearing. And it's wonderful. It's exciting. It's great. And I'm glad that God gives us a little patience. God has a little patience with us. I'm glad God has some grace and waiting on us to develop fruit in our lives. He expects fruit from us, from each and every one of us. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for the development of fruit. How was 2005? As the certain man comes at the end of the year to inspect his vineyard, how are you doing? How am I doing? Was there any fruit from my life in 2005? Was there any fruit in your life in 2005? He comes looking for that. He expects it. Expects it. Let me say number three this morning. There are several kinds of fruit that should show on every Christian. Several kinds. How about this one in Romans chapter 6 and verse 22? The Bible talks about the fruit of holiness. Holiness. Isn't that interesting? That's a fruit. A fruit of holiness. You understand, friend, that I, as a child of God, should be bearing fruit in the matter of holiness in my life. My life should not be a duplicate of a lost person's wicked lifestyle. I am to be different. And so are you. If you can't stand the heat, friend, I don't know what you're going to do. Because this thing's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. You know what's going to happen to you and me? We're going to stick out like a sore thumb. We're already sticking out like a sore thumb. If you can't take it, I don't know what to tell you. If you want to fit into this world, if you want to mix with this world and just be content and be at home and be comfortable, you're going to have a rough time, friend, bearing fruit for God. Bear fruit unto holiness. The fruit of holiness. Hey, how about this one in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23? By the way, folks, this is what bothers me as a pastor, watching God's people go toward the fashion of the world, toward the dress of the world, toward the entertainment of the world, when we're supposed to be walking a different direction. It concerns me. And if you're dressing more like the world than you were when you first got saved, I got a problem with that, and so does God. What's your music like? We start making all kinds of excuses. And you know how we are? If we find one person that agrees with us on a matter of changing a standard or a conviction, buddy, all of a sudden we have great confidence that we're right. What you better do is go back and judge it by the Bible. The fruit of holiness. The fruit of holiness. Excuse me. There's supposed to be something different about the family that lives at 4742 North, 2250 West Road in Bourbonnais from the other folks who live on that road who are unsaved and on their way to hell. There's supposed to be a difference. It's called holiness. It shows up in your speech. It shows up in your entertainment. It shows up in your music. It shows up in your dress. It shows up in your life. Holiness. That's the kind of fruit God's looking for. Are you bearing any fruit? The fruit of holiness. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 talks about, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. This is not fruit that I bear. This is fruit that the Holy Spirit bears in me. He lives in my body. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Those that the Spirit of God works in me bears the fruit of those attributes in my life. How is it? Are you angry? Do you hate everybody? Do you look for the bad in folks? Do you snicker and sneer? Are you cynical and sarcastic about God's people? Something's not right. The Spirit of God bears the fruit of love. 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 Joy. Peace. That's what the Spirit of God bears in my life. I'm getting bogged down here. I got to move on. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. How is that fruit in your life? How about Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 11, the fruit of righteousness. James chapter 3, verse number 18, the fruit of righteousness. This goes along with holiness. Right living, practical right living. Are you living righteously? The Bible says the fruits of righteousness ought to be showing up in our lives. How about this one in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15? The Bible talks about the fruit of praise and thanksgiving to God. Has that fruit been in your life in 05? Look, folks, I mean more than, okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the food. Bless it to us. Amen. I mean, when you get overwhelmed and the tears roll down your cheeks and your lips tremble and you're alone by yourself or in front of your family and you begin thanking God for His manifold blessings and your lips bring forth the fruit of praise and thanksgiving. The Bible talks about that kind of fruit. Did you have any fruit like that in 05? Did you shout? You ever find a time for rejoicing? And thanks be unto God for all of His blessings. And then the Bible talks about in John. Listen very carefully now. John 5. Brother Joe, how's the temperature in here? Is it okay? Are y'all comfortable? Don't turn. Are y'all comfortable this morning? That's what I thought. I'm afraid. Amen. You say, Pastor, why do you like it cold? You get up here sometimes, look at how many folks are nodding off. You want it cold too. Man. Either you stand up late or the spirit of slumber or something. Man, alive. Get yourself woke up, man. Huh? Amen. John 15, 16. Romans 1, 13. Philippians 4, 17. You still with me? All of these verses talk about the fruits of soul winning. Winning people to Christ. winning people to Christ, bearing fruit, soul winning. I mean, seeing people come to salvation, fruit bearing. Folks, I just gave you five different kinds of fruit. Certain man comes. There's the tree. Let's see. I'm looking for a little bit of holiness. I'm looking for a little bit of righteousness. I'm looking for a little bit of praise and thanksgiving. I'm looking for some of those attributes that the Spirit of God works in the life. And I'm also looking for the witness, the testimony, the salvation, the passing out of tracts. Boy, I got a great story from Brother Woodward, Dave Felber. You'll love this story. I'll tell it sometime about a situation from a gospel tract. It's crazy. Unbelievable. I'm looking for fruit. Now listen to me. Stay with me this morning. We should strive to see all five of those fruits developed in our lives. Now here's what we like to do. We like to major in one or two that are convenient to us and take great glory in that and let the other two or three just slide by. You know what God wants to see? He wants to see a fruitful. Fruitful means fruitful. Full. Full. Righteousness and holiness and praise and thanksgiving and the attributes of love and joy and peace and self-control and soul winning and being a testimony and a witness and bringing folks to the gospel and seeing people get saved. He comes looking for all five of those fruits in our lives. All. Look, He wants us all to bear. And that's what happens. You know, some are heavy on the holiness and the righteousness and short on the soul winning. Some are heavy on soul winning, but they're short on the attributes of the Holy Spirit. I've met folks like that. Good soul winners, but they're ugly. Ugly to their wife, ugly to their husband, ugly to their kids. Oh, but man, I had a lot of people saved last year. Okay, I'm glad for the fruit of soul winning, but how about that love, joy, peace? Well, God's not caring. Oh, yes, He does care about that. Are y'all with me this morning? I'm trying to work hard. No, it's not that bad. Fruit bearing. Fruit bearing. That's what He's looking for. But He found to find none. You think a child of God, Brother Mike, would have one out of five. If there's no soul winning, you figure there'd be some righteousness. If there's no righteousness, you figure there'd be some attributes of the Holy Ghost or something. If there's no attributes of the Holy Ghost, maybe there'd be some holiness. If there's not, none. Hey, are you alive? Hey, you got any life? Because fruit bearing is a good sign of what? Life. That's what I'm looking for. Wait a minute, folks. You want to tell me that the Spirit of God, who I read this morning, Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of God was involved in the creation of all that is. He lives in my body, lives in your body, and He can't produce any fruit in us? Whoa! Excuse me. But I read this morning where He moved upon the face of the waters. He lives in my body. He can't bring forth any fruit. Something's wrong. And it's not good English, but I'll say it anyway. Something's wrong, and it sure ain't with Him. Amen. Fruit this year. Here comes the certain man. I want to know what kind of fruit was on this tree in 05. I'm going to expect some fruit in 06. He came looking for fruit. There's five different kinds. What are you going to do this year for God? What kind of fruit are you going to bear? Huh? You know, it's an amazing thing to me. I preached a message here not long ago, not too many weeks ago on a Sunday night, on will ye also go away? The saddest question that Jesus ever asked His disciples, will ye also go away, about apostasy in the last days. The altars were jammed, people up the aisles. You know what I think? We live in fear of falling away. You know one of the great remedies to keep from falling away? Keep bearing fruit. Keep bearing fruit. And that's funny because you preach to people about doing something for God and bearing fruit and it's ho-hum. Yeah, okay, yeah, I need to do. It goes hand in hand, folks. If you don't want to fall away, keep bearing fruit. Stay fruitful in your Christian walk. Listen, number careful. Number four, careful this morning. I'm approaching the runway. Here we go. Number four. God's patience, and I've already dealt with this a little bit, so I'll move on. God's patience wears thin with a non-fruit-bearing Christian. See, he comes to the place where he says, you know what, I'm done with it. Cut it down. Put another tree in its place. I want to see some fruit growing in that spot of ground right there. I was going to take you over to Hebrews. I won't do that. I was going to take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I won't do that. God has patience with every child when it comes to fruit bearing, but you hear me. Don't abuse His patience. Because He does have a point where He's... Don't abuse it. Don't abuse that patience. This year, number five, let me finish with this one. There is a remedy for unfruitfulness. There's a remedy for unfruitfulness. Look at verse number 8. There's a remedy for unfruitfulness. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. How many of you have ever done that? You ever taken a spade out to a tree? And, you know, you don't want to cut the roots, so you get far enough away from the tree, the trunk, and you don't go too deep, but you turn that dirt up. Maybe you get some Miracle-Gro or fertilizer. This tree's not been real fruitful, so you turn it over and turn it over and turn it over, and you work that ground up and you work it up and you work it up, and maybe you throw some mulch around it, and maybe you go and get a bag of fertilizer and you work it in the soil and you work it in the soil and you work it in the soil. What are you trying to do? You're trying to dig and dung about that tree. Why? So it bears some fruit. For sake of time, I won't turn you to Jeremiah chapter 4 and Hosea chapter 10, but let me tell you something. Did you have a fruitless year in 05? Let me tell you how to remedy that. You've got to dig up the fallow ground. You know what fallow means? Concrete. Hard. We're riding home from church Wednesday night. Leah stayed to ride home with me. I enjoy that. She stayed to ride home with me. We were riding home. It was kind of misting and raining. Remember that Wednesday night? Kind of a little rain. We were talking about the rainy weather. Kind of strange for December and all that stuff, the warm temperature. She said, I bet the farmers really appreciate it. And I said, well, I said, the bad thing is it was so cold. The early part of December, the ground froze. And yes, the rain will help the ground to thaw, but if it rains too hard on frozen ground, you know what it does? Just wash it right off. Just wash right off. The truth of the matter is, to help thaw the ground, that was the best kind of rain we could get. Just a slow, soft rain, mist. Because the ground is frozen. It's hard. How do you know? I tried to stick one of those spotlight things in the ground to light up the grief. You know what I'm talking about? Snapped it off. The ground was frozen. Early December. November, Thanksgiving time. It was frozen. That's what happens to some people's hearts. Get like a rock. Like a rock. By the way, the word break up the fallow ground doesn't mean a chisel plow. You guys that are familiar, Brother Brian, with agriculture, that chisel plow they came out with, boy, farmers like that. But a few of them old boys still mow board. They plow deep. They drop that plow, 6 or 8 bottom plow in that ground behind that big old tractor with all that horsepower, 4-wheel drive John Deere. Drag those plows through that ground and it just tears it up and tears it up deep. And that's what God says you got to do as a child of God. He said, if you want to bear some fruit, you got to break up the hard ground. Break it up. Take a plow to it, not a chisel plow. Take a mow board to it. Put it deep and dig and let it dig and just... And by the way, that's what God tries to do sometimes with those circumstances that come into our lives that make us melted down and brokenhearted, and we're always fighting against those things because we don't like them. You know what a lot of times God is doing with that kind of thing? He's trying to dig up the ground. trying to get the concrete broken up. Because if the concrete gets broken up, the nutrition of His Word and His Spirit can fertilize that soil and fruit can come out of that ground again. It's got to be broken up. But no, we don't want anything to go wrong. We don't want anything to go bad. We don't want anything inconvenient. We don't want anything uncomfortable. We don't want any kind of reversal because we don't want that. But that's what God uses sometimes. He puts the plow of difficulty deep within our hearts. And instead of saying to God, "Oh God, You're right," fall on our faces and cry and weep and mourn and let the tears... Oh, not you. No, you're not going to let tears flow down your cheeks. No, sir. You're too much of a man. You're too much of a man to get on your knees and bawl before God. You ain't doing that, are you? I'll tell you what, my friend, you better get some of that involved in your life. There better be some time of weeping and mourning and on your face before God. It may not be in the posture of being prone on your face physically, but in the posture of your heart, prone before God, weeping before Him. God, dig up my heart. Dig up that hard ground. Dig up that concrete. Break it up, oh God. Please use this to break me. Prayed like that recently. Break me. Melt me. Mold me. Make me. We used to sing that song with the youth group out in Iowa. I want to do Thy will, O Lord. I want to do Thy will, O Lord. Make me, break me, mold me. I forget all the words. We don't like that. Dig it up. Dig it up. Break it up. And then let the Spirit of God work in the fertilizer of His Word and His comfort and His help this year. Hey, look at it. Look at the end. Look at verse number 9. And if it bear fruit, well. What that tells me? What that tells me, folks, look at it. We're almost done. It's only 5 after 12. Man, we're in good shape, aren't we? You know what that tells me? Watch it. That the fruitless tree of 3 years, if the ground gets broken up, dug, fertilized, that fruitless tree of 3 years can bring forth fruit. Was 05 a barren year in your life? By the way, let me say this as your pastor. Some of you, I see less. For some of you, I saw less of you at the end of 05 than I saw you at the beginning of 05. Less of you. Started 05 in Sunday school and church and Wednesday night and this, and you ended 05 in Sunday morning service. That concerns me. Are you bearing any fruit? Are you? He came that in this year. Look, one more year. You give it one more year. I'm gonna dig about it. If not, if it produces fruit, well. If not, Jesus said, you cut it down. Does that mean I'm going to die? I don't think it means you're going to die. But I will tell you this. I do think it means that God can quit working on a life. Whew. You want to see something disastrous? You let God walk away from your life or my life. We're in a heap of trouble. Heap of trouble. Heap of trouble. God says, you know what? I've invested enough time in teaching and preaching and enough of my word in that tree, and it's still fruitless. I'm done with it. Just leave it alone. I'll guarantee you don't want that. This year, man, this is a brand new year. First day, you have the opportunity to bear fruit in 2006. Doesn't hurt us to do a little examination on 05. Any fruit bearing? If not, how about this year? How about this year? What a great time to start. January 1. Lord, this year, I want to be a fruit bearer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. You paid attention well, and I appreciate that. Before we have the invitation, let me give a couple of free questions. Who's here would say, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please? And don't lie to God. Please don't lie to God. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there one here this morning would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Not sure that I'm saved. God bless you in the back. Not sure that I'm saved. Somebody else. Not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that here this morning? All right, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you raised your hand just now, you're not sure that you're saved. Would you look at me for just a moment, please? God bless you. You're not sure that you're saved. We have a person down here, a lady over here named Beth. She can take the Bible and show you how to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. I went forward in the church service 30 years ago, and they showed me how to be saved. If you want to be saved, you want to know how to be saved, that concerns you this morning, why don't you come right now with our heads bowed and eyes closed right here. She'll meet you. Would you do that? Would you come right now? Nobody's looking. Just leave your seat and come this way. God will speak to you. She can show you how to be saved this morning. I hope that you'll do that in just a moment. If you want to be saved, you can sure be saved this morning. I wonder who's here would say, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved, but I've never been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Haven't followed Christ in believer's baptism. Pray for me. God bless you. I know we have some lined up for baptism. Why don't you come right now and we'll get you ready for baptism. That's wonderful. Somebody else. I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Would you come this morning? I've never been baptized. All right. How about it, Christian? One of the greatest evidences of salvation is fruit bearing. Fruit bearing. Brother Angel, how do you know that you're saved? Well, there's lots of reasons. One of the reasons is, man, is my life different. I didn't say it was perfect. Boy, is it different. I hope there's some fruit there. Great evidence of life. Pastor, pray for me. The Spirit of God came by my seat this morning. I do not want 2006 to be a fruitless year. God convicted me. God encouraged me. God challenged me. Something happened in my heart this morning. Would you raise your hand, please? How about this year? How about this year? Don't you? Look, folks, God bless you. Praise the Lord for teenagers and children and adults alike. Take your hand down. Listen, if that hand really means that God spoke to your heart, don't take that lightly. Did God in His grace, He doesn't have to speak to us. Did His Spirit really touch you this morning in this service? What a grace of God. Don't take that lightly. Don't just go home and forget it and go on with your fruitless life. No. Or you want to bear more fruit. Man, let God just take your life and bear fruit this year. This year. This year. This year. This year. 365 days, He'll do another inspection. Somebody else, Brother Angel, I should have raised my hand just then, a little embarrassed, a little casual, but I should have raised my hand. Pray for me. Anybody else like that this morning? Would you slip your hand up, put it right back down? Anybody like that? All right. Dear Father, bless us now. Thank You for the privilege to preach Your book on this first Sunday of this new year. God, I pray that You'll please give us a hunger and a thirst for fruit bearing in our lives. May this be the year, this year, be the year of fruitfulness in the area of holiness and righteousness and the fruits of the Spirit, Lord, the love, the joy, the peace, the self-control, the meekness. Lord, may this be a year of thankfulness and praise to You. May this be a year of witnessing and winning folks to Christ. May this be a year of fruit-bearing, please. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a minute, we're going to stand. I'm going to point to the ladies, and they're going to play. If you're not sure that you're saved, I would invite you to come to Christ this morning. Or if you need to be baptized, or how about if you raised your hand this year, a year of fruitfulness. Let's stand, please. Ladies, play a song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Let the Spirit of God work in your heart. Would you do that? You raised your hand. I appreciate that. That's the first step. This year, this year. Oh, thank God, friend. You say, well, you're just trying to give people a little feel-good hope. No, 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 no. This year could be different. This year could be different. This could be a year of fruitfulness. This could be a year of fruit bearing. How about it? Would you come this morning? Certain man has come to inspect this crop. Would you come? Be afraid of me. It's all. Start to hear all. Oh, God. Make me fruitful this year. Make me fruitful. Bear some fruit. What is it? Is it love in your marriage relationship? Is it love with your children? Is it obedience to your parents? What grace does the Spirit of God give you? Bear fruit in your life. Well, I've got it. It's on my mind. Think of the fruit. Would you come? Time the Spirit of God spoke to your heart this morning. You come, don't take it lightly. Would you do that?